Realizing the realism of life and actuality. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, and aka Gaston Lebanon. I gotta use that name more. Okay, check it out. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this date, April 6, 2025. It bothers me. I feel like I should be remembering something for April 6. Yeah, except for the fact that I'm recording this episode on stolen land. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Hey, B Black, why do you got to tell people your feelings about Whitey? Because it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. I feel like I should make that a motto. Another thing I like to do at the beginning of the podcast is send a special shout out to what I believe to be the heartbeat of this thing of ours, this interaction, this moment. And that's all you listeners. Do me a favor, stop what you're doing and applaud yourself. I guess I should have said applaud yourselves. Selves. Parce qu'en anglais, au pluriel, whatever. Hey, and if you happen to be a first-time listener, also applaud yourself, but please feel welcome. I like to act like this is like a 12-step program. And, you know, in that first time, the first step is the most important step. I'm just making a big deal out of first-time listeners. Yeah, here's hoping that something I say throughout this episode resonates and leads to us making history. Okay, shutuppodcast.com is the website, and shutuppodcast401 at gmail.com. In today's episode titled... Okay, the working title for now was 254 Dérange-les. For you Anglophone, that means bother them. I continue from where I left off on the last episode. On the last episode where I talked about danger and discomfort, or discomfort and danger, one of the two, and both of them. But this time, apply it in the context of taking up space. Or deranger, bothering people. Yeah. All right. But before we do that, we're going to start with some quotes and randomness. Okay? Quotes and randomness. All right. When I was a kid, go used to hype me up. So it touches on, it's just my memory back in the days. I'm nostalgic. Is that the word? Nostalgia. I'm just reminiscing on when I was young, dumb. Well, this was before puberty, so wasn't full of cum. All right, okay. First quote goes, focus on you, people come and go. Let me repeat that. Focus on you, people come and go. I want to add to that. Second one is a bit longer. And the for this one, hold on. For that one, yeah, the author unknown. But for this one, it's by Bianca Sparacino. If I was reading that in French, that's Sparacino. All right. You're allowed to take up space. Own who you are and what you want for yourself. Stop downplaying the things you care about, the hopes you have. Own your passion, your thoughts, your perception. Own your fire. Stop putting your worth in the hands of others. Stop letting them decide your value. Own saying no, saying yes. Own saying no, saying yes. Own your mood, your feelings, your plans, your path, your success. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Huh. powerful, man. I think as I'm trying to figure out this podcast, what I'm trying to do, I think I'm going to add to healing. This is dedicated to those of us still on that journey into taking up space. Yeah. Because I realize that just even the term taking up space means different things to different people, but the audience that I'm looking for, that I'm targeting, we share same understanding of what we mean by taking up space. And it's not something to laugh at. It's more like taking up space is one of those easier said than done, or I'm getting better at doing that. Taking up space. By the way, quick shout out to the Black Fat Fam podcast. Part of what connected me to first time listening to that podcast and the two souls, and there was a part, I remember the first episode, and the words, and they were just encouraging their listeners to take up space. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's a word my therapist used. It's funny how it went from a word that was theoretical, and went from theory to practice. So shout out to them. All right, some randomness. Let's jump into some randomness. Okay. All right. So first one is a clip. I'm just gonna play. This is a Reddit clip. All right, I'm just gonna play it for your entertainment. They said it better than I can. Caption reads: "This is why overthinkers suffer so much."
This is why overthinkers suffer too much, according to psychology. The biggest problem for overthinkers is that when they get too attached to someone, their entire mood depends on how the other person responds to them. They are so attuned to other people's emotions that they can notice the slightest change in someone's behavior. Learn to regulate your emotions. If you are being controlled by your own emotions, you will end up hurting either yourself or them in the end.
All right, can't say any more than that, except links are in the show notes if you want to replay it for your own self. Okay. All right, next one is, the next one is, stick to the script, B. So I'm going through, I'm listening, I've mentioned this in past episodes, but if you're like me, you might, and you're into audiobooks. And so I listen to all kinds of audiobooks. A lot of it is like history, nonfiction shit. But I had to pull away, and every once in a while, I go into the fiction world, right? And I got to tell you, man, I remember thinking it didn't get any better than the series A Songs of Ice and Fire, the one by George R. R. Martin. It's one of those books really good to listen to, especially when you were waiting for in between seasons, and you just couldn't wait to find out how the story was going to pan out or get more context to the story. Well, I didn't think it could get any better. Then I discovered the Silo series, the book series. man, I even wrote about it on Reddit. This shit's so good. Like, I'm putting it on my list of favorites. Like, if I have a top five, I don't know. It's neck and neck with Songs of Ice and Theory. it's one of the few. It's fiction. Actually, let me just read what the story, just to give you some context, right? It's fiction, but it's one of those audiobooks that has had me on edge. Like, I could be in the middle of something, and then I'm stuck. I could be cooking, and then I stop what I'm doing. Then what happens? Oh my God, it was just beautiful the way the author kept my attention. And second, there's been scenes where I'm like, yeah! for those who've seen The Truman Show, The Truman Show. And there's a scene where spoiler alert, Truman is on a ship and he survives it. And the person watching him going, yeah! He's holding, like, he's cheering with him. There's scenes, there's parts of the book where I'm like cheering on the main character, or something happens and I'm like, yeah, oh, thank God. And I'm like I'm so invested into it. And it's just, I'm just amazed, man. I'm just amazed at the power of the talented people out there, the talented writers. And I'm grateful that they turned it into an audiobook. But for those who are not familiar, by the way, Silo's his book on the TV series that's on Apple TV. It's a book. It's the other way around. The TV series based on the book. And I'm just going to read the first blurb. The Wikipedia entry goes, Silo is a dystopian series of post-apocalyptic science fiction books by American writer Hugh Howey. The series started in 2011 with a short story, Wool, which was later published together with four sequel novellas as a novel with the same name. Along with Wool, the series consists of Shift Dust. The three short stories, these are short stories. The series has also been adapted as a graphic novel, was not aware, and a television series on Apple TV. Let me read the background. There's something fascinating about this. Howie began the series in 2011, initially writing Wool as a short story. He published the work through Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing System, choosing to do so due to the freedom of self-publishing. So this was a self-published book. Amazing. After the series grew into popularity, he began to write more entries for it, later collecting the short story and initial five novellas in the omnibus book Wool. I'm not sure what that means. Howie began soliciting international rights in 2012 and has since signed a deal for dramatic rights in Brazil. By March 2013, Howie had signed a print-only deal for around 500,000 USD, equivalent to $670,000 in 2024. Oh, $670,000 with Scheiman and Schuster's to distribute the print copies and initial collection Wool to book retailers in the U.S. and Canada. He turned down $1 million plus offers from publishing houses to retain full rights to continue distributing Wool online, noting that he had already earned more than seven figures from the online publishing royalties. Look, man, I say all this because I'm down to I think I'm down to 1 hour left. 1 hour, 15 minutes. And I'm pacing the fuck out of myself. It's like, because I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Okay, I guess I'll go back to listening to podcasts. Sorry, guys, to my podcast. But I just love the way this thing grabbed my attention and allowed me to do other things. So, yeah, man. Shout out to art, man. Shout out to you creative folks out there, man, making our life better. Like, this is so good. I'm gonna have to buy the goddamn book, the actual print, not just the audio. That's how when I really like an audiobook, I end up buying the print, because I picture myself probably reading it at some point, but that never happens. It just like makes my shelves look pretty. All right, yeah, man. Shout out to Wool. Shout out to anyone who's Wool. Name of the series is Silos, and there's three books. All right. Next item. I titled this one, Will McAvoy Was Just a Fictional Character on the Newsroom. I think I'm going to present this as another one of those there ain't no Santa Claus moment. I'm a grown man who every once in a while has their, oh, this is the world we live in. Two things inspired this thought. Okay, first of all, Will McAvoy is a character on a TV series called The Newsroom. And The Newsroom was, let me read the entry. It goes, The Newsroom is an American political drama television series created and principally written by Aaron Sorkin that premiered on HBO June 24, 2012 and concluded on December 4, 2014, consisting of 25 episodes over the three seasons. The series chronicled the behind-the-scenes event at a fictional Atlantis Cable News ACN channel. It features an assembled cast including Jeff Daniels as anchor Will McAvoy, who together with his staff sets out to put on a news show in the face of corporate commercial obstacles and their own personal entanglement. Okay, I won't read the rest, but that's the important part is how the way I used to describe this scene, it was like a fantasy book. It was a love story, but it was like it was sheer fantasy. And the way I would describe it is an ideal newsroom. I mean, it's not perfect, but it was like everyone lives on principles. They believed in truth. They believed in journalism. And it's like corporate greed versus it's watching this show helped me develop an appreciation for journalism on a theoretical level. But the most important character in there was Will McAvoy, played by Jeff Daniels. Shout out to Jeff Daniels, by the way, Mr. Dumber and Dumber. What the fuck is that guy doing in there? But he, like, got me. And the character is, again, not a perfect human being, but it's how he becomes, like, a man of principle committed to sharing the truth, him and his staff, right? And, I remember watching it and going, like, damn, CNN, why can't you be more like our NFCC or CBC? Why can't you be more like them? And it's like, yeah, because we got bills to pay. Anyways, I bring this up because I feel like I had like with that appreciation for journalism. Two things happened, right? And then I'm gonna start with the story of Rachel Gilmore.
CTV has canceled a segment on its national morning show fact-checking election misinformation after an online backlash from Pierre Poilievre's conservatives and right-wing alternative media outlets targeting a prominent journalist. Rachel Gilmore, a former parliamentary press gallery reporter who recently launched her own digital media company, was over the moon when CTV Your Morning invited her to do a weekly fact-checking segment during the federal election.
I was thinking of the story of Rachel Gilmore. Links are in the show notes. Again, the title of the article to read for yourself is CTV canceled a fact-checking segment in response to political pressure from Pierre Poilievre's conservatives. And long story short, if you know who Rachel Gilmore is, she's an independent journalist. And she's on a long series of, short list of journalists out there in Canada who I like the expression talk truth to stupid or try to. Anyway, so what bothered me about this story is the reason why CTV canceled the segment. One is Pierre Poilievre, one of his people, which is based on what I can tell, one of his people tweeted, it's like, hey, how you gonna have this libtard on your show, and basically making it look like these guys are cheating. Damn liberals are trying to. It's the whole attacking. You know what? It's what do you call that? Projecting. It's basically accusing CTV of not playing fair when these assholes never played fair. Never played fair. Anyways. What bothered me is CTV caved. One, it was Pierre Poilievre's contact, followed by, holy shit, we knew you had trolls. We didn't realize that most of your trolls were our target audience. But they caved. They caved. And someone in the article asked the question, made the statement. What's her name? Sonia Fata. And she is the associate chair of Toronto Metropolitan University School of Journalism and co-chair of Canada Press Freedom Project. And there's a quote in there I like to. She says, It's a reflection that the newsroom don't feel confident standing up for what they believe in. And that's what got me. It's, I figured, like, yo, you're, I don't know how, I was going to say, million-dollar corporation. You're owned by Bell. Fuck are you scared of these? I'm bothered that, again, there is no Santa Claus. Is that be like, yeah, we're going to make a decision from a position of strength. We're not going to do it because the mob is telling us we shouldn't do it. But yeah, no, the words they used was, yeah, no, this shit is too much of a distraction. And look, man, we're trying to, like, we don't want to get cut off by Pierre Poilievre and everything. But it just bothered me that an organization of that size would allow the mob to tell them what they do, what they can't do. Because now all these crybabies are like, okay, look, we got some power. The next time they have someone try to talk truth to stupid, look, I'm all for, you know, business decisions and whatnot. But I guess it's the principle of the matter. It's a principle. Getting back to the newsroom, there's a quote by a character. His name is Charlie Skinner. Shout out to those of you who know who I'm talking about. And he says, I'm too old to be governed by the fear of dumb people. Imagine that. We're like, okay, the earth is flat because there's a lot of people, all the people with muscles are telling us that, telling them that the earth is round bothers them, so we don't want to get beat up. And don't get me wrong, I'm not Mr. Tough Guy myself, but I guess it's the principle. It's standing up for, I guess I had gotten so used to stronger people or people that I believe being stronger than me, standing up for principle and then just, like, if they don't stand up, then who's there left? Me? What the fuck? Me? Holy shit. Anyways, it just bothered me this week. And I'm going to wrap this this portion up of randomness, or this particular portion from randomness, with something that happened to Bill Burr. And Bill Burr said it perfectly. This is a clip of Bill Burr calling out media and refuse to fall for their bait or give them a viral moment. But you've probably seen this clip. It's Bill Burr being asked a question. It's on some red carpet. I don't know where he's at, but where he's wearing a suit, whatever. And the interviewers are about to ask him questions. And the way he handles it is what I'm underlining.
Tell us about your reaction to Luigi Mangione. I was reading up, you know, that perhaps you've been supportive of what he did. What is your take on that?
If you were reading up, I don't think you read up on it. Because I said what I felt about it, and I said what a lot of people said.
Some people took it that way. So could you clarify what you think?
No, I'm not going to just have some controversial moments so you can get clicks. I'm not doing that.
Nope.
I mean, I'm here for Conan. I'm not doing all of this. What are you going to bring up next? The Middle East? I went to summer school 3 out of 4 years in high school. I'm not qualified to talk about this.
I was just going to bring it right down.
What do you think about global warming?
You said about Elon that he was ruining Earth, I saw on The View. You're critical of him. What do you think of all the boycotts, like even the violence
I don't
that's
watch
going
the news.
On at Tesla?
I don't watch the news. I have no idea what's going on. I watch Instagram. I watch people wipe out on motorcycles. I watch lions and hyenas fight each other. This is the things that I do. And I don't think you should be asking a comedian.
Yep.
You're a journalist.
Comedians are on top of current events.
No. That's weak. That's you guys passing the buck. You guys need to have balls again, which you don't.
Right.
You guys always goes, should we be thinking this? Duh. You guys present stuff like that. You guys used to have balls. You need to get your balls back. And it's not my job. I am a dancing clown.
Say it again, Mr. Bill Burr.
You guys need to have balls again, which you don't.
All right, shout out to Bill Burr for that one. Yes. Y'all need to have balls again. I'm too old to be governed by the fear of dumb people. Shit, what's next? We're gonna let them tell us that, you know, vaccines are bad? Because some of these, you know, it's fuck. What are you organizations doing? I don't know. I guess I'm of the opinion that maybe journalism shouldn't fall in the category of shouldn't be a business, but fuck do I know? I'm a podcaster/comedian. Someone's got to tell the truth. All right? Someone's got to stand up. Yeah, someone's got to stand up to tell the truth. And please don't ask me to do it, because I'm a chicken. So much for this segment. Eh? Yes, the world's bad, and don't ask me to fix it. All right. Okay. This next clip. Okay, I'm gonna play a video by Ryan Davis. Again, links are in the show notes, because it's also a call to action what I'm about to play. So I recommend you playing it for yourself and then doing what he asked you to do. But I'm playing this clip because he reminded me how much I like comedy. I fucking hate the business.
I spent $150,000 to produce my own comedy special, and then I took it to Netflix and they told me it wasn't good enough. Now, when Netflix said that it wasn't good enough or they were not interested, I'm not even going to lie, it hurt my feelings, because it made me feel like maybe I'm not good enough as a comedian to be on their platform. So I decided to put clips of my stand-up on Instagram.
Good for you.
And it totaled over 3 million views. And when I look at it, actually, each clip averages more views than the stand-up clips on Netflix's a joke page that is 3 times more popular than mine.
Good for you.
Now, I know some of you are like, well, you know, it looks like your videos did good views, but they don't do 1 million. At least some of the ones on Netflix do 1 million. I get that, but that's only because I didn't include the one that did like 3.5 million views. I wasn't trying to flex. I'm just telling you, it was doing very well. In fact, I wanted to see if there was some Instagram bias, and I took it to TikTok, and it did over 4.5 million views. Now, that led me to believe that people actually do want to see my special. And maybe I was right that I made something dope. But here's the dilemma. I still haven't been able to get it out to the public. Do I put it on YouTube? I can't get into my YouTube page. I don't know what to do. So I decided I produced it independently. I'm going to release it independently. So March 27th, I'm going to put my special out. You can see it on my Patreon. I don't even need you to sign up to my Patreon. If you support me and you believe in me, all I ask you to do is like this video. Comment on it and share it in your stories. That's it. Just tell the algorithm that this is a post that you rock with, so it can, so the word can be spread. Because I want all the artists that want to take their career into their own hands to see that it can work. The success story behind this will be a success story if y'all let it. All you got to do is support it. And you don't even have to support it with money. You just have to engage with this post. Help a brother out.
Oh, shit. Repost. All right. Powerful, man. Yeah. No, I it's amazing. When I listen to people like him, J.L. Covain, all these other comedians, it's like they compare, I mean, okay, I'm not going to diss myself, but it's, they take their career very seriously. And it's interesting hearing the problems they have. I'm like just trying to get back into comedy. I'm just trying to get, do it again, and fighting and still dealing with the feeling of, maybe it's a bad idea and whatnot, and maybe I don't have what it takes. But like, this is where I am right now in my meet me where I'm at. And these guys, they're like, I spent $150,000. That's a lot of goddamn money, by the way. $150,000 on my special, only to have Netflix say, not good enough. What the fuck? But what I appreciate about this story is how homie found a better alternative. Like, he saw the closed door, or like Jay-Z said, got to the fork in the road and went straight and made his own path. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. And I like, I guess I like the idea of how he managed to take his career into his own hands. Anyway, I just thought it was inspirational. It worth sharing. On that note, I bought my tickets to go see, go to Montreal on April 18th to go see Le Mouton Noir. And that's Renzel, make sure I don't fuck up his name again, Renzel Dashington. his show. This is another comedian who takes his career, who's taken his career into his own hands. And I've seen one of his specials on his Patreon. The guy's funny. I actually enjoy his act. So I'm willing to go see him perform. Two things. One is I'm hoping to have a good times, and two, I'm hoping I find some inspiration into doing my own thing, figuring out how to go about my own thing. Right now, I'm staring at the stairway. I'm staring at the first step and just trying to find the courage to take that first step. But anyway, right now, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first steps. I'm looking forward to going to see, I made the plans, booked the hotel and my way there. I'm considering maybe I should drive there, but that's another story, but I'm going to see it. All right. This is it for randomness. Now let's jump into a feature thought. But before we do so, let's take a break. Okay, les enfants, I am back. Oh, pardon. Les amis, I am back. Okay, I mentioned this is a bilingual podcast. You don't have to know French, but it might help. It might help. Again, part of me speaking the French is just me just, again, safe space for my thoughts. And sometimes you could get with this or you could get with that. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, sometimes I say some stuff in French, sometimes I say it in English. Okay, you can't tell I'm cleaning my glasses as I'm speaking. And also, you know, when I prepare for an episode, I have this habit of wanting to overthink shit. I think that's what I'm trying to do. But here, okay. Today's thought, let me just play the TikTok clip. It's in French. I'll explain it after. Vous êtes d'anglophone for you bilingual anglophones. I will explain what the content creator just said. But the theme of her message is dérange-les. Bother them. And here we go. Et soi-même sans excuse. Be yourself without any excuses. All right, here we go.
Dérange-les. Dérange-les. Dérange-les avec ta présence. Dérange-les avec ton ambition. Dérange-les avec tes idées, avec la place que tu prends, avec ta confiance en toi. Dérange-les. Parce que ton rôle dans la vie, c'est pas d'accommoder et de rassurer les insécurités des gens. C'est pas de te mettre inconfortable et de te déranger toi-même pour éviter de rendre les autres inconfortables. Ton rôle, c'est de briller tellement fort, de prendre ta place avec tellement d'audace, sans t'excuser, que ça va forcément rendre certaines personnes inconfortables. Donc la prochaine fois que quelqu'un est dérangé par ta présence, rappelle-toi que c'est très bon signe. J'envoie plein d'amour.
All right, repost. Didn't realize I forgot to repost. Well, according to this, I didn't, but whatever. Okay. All right, content creator's name is, Mariam Garderie. Garderie. C'est ça ton nom, vraiment? Let me make sure I got this right. Mariam. Oh, pardon. Yeah, no, Mariam Garderie. Yeah, okay. All right. Say it all right. This white woman. I don't usually like quoting white women. You know what? Sometimes it's the message more than the messenger. It's the focus on the messenger. Because when you go on her profile, I'm like, you know, wow, she doesn't look like someone I would get quote. Booked by this cover. But yeah, shout out to her, man. Shout out to for this quote. And I gotta tell you, man, I go through TikTok. And someone will say something and I'll ignore it. But my favorite ones is the one that linger in the back of my mind. And I'm like, fuck it, man. I'm just going to make an episode out of it. I like what she said. And okay, the sum total, I'm not going to repeat what she said, the whole thing. But the sum total of her message, I can summarize with the words, take up space. And fuck who it bothers. In the last episode, I talked about the title Discomfort versus Danger. I talked about how realizing in therapy that my brain seems to not make a distinction between the two, discomfort and danger. And I bring this up because I'm now reminding how my brain seems to have associated danger with taking up space or not making the people around me feel comfortable. Yeah, you know what? I don't think I can, there's much I can say. This is one of those things that I need to process on my own. So I'm not going to do this on this microphone, but it's just after hearing that talk, that message about fuck them. Don't worry about bothering them. Bother them, man. Speak up when you need to speak up. I'm just going to tie the two together. And like in the last episode, I talked about how sometimes the discomfort comes from the fear. There's a fear of, there was a colleague who was saying some bullshit that was wrong. And instead of correcting them, even better than that, that was doing some fuck shit. And I ended up minimizing their behavior. I learned that word recently. And the reason I did it is because of my brain being like, whoa, danger, danger, danger. Let him be an idiot. Let him be wrong. Don't correct them. I guess the best I could do is now that I'm aware, like when I'm in that moment, I'll be aware of my brain going, yo, danger, danger, and having a moment to pause and say, nah, man, whatever happens after this, I'll survive it. But one thing I ain't going to let this motherfucker do is talk. talk bullshit in my presence. This is a continuation of the last mention on discomfort and danger, and realizing how, like that Rachel Gilmore segment, I was talking about how I've gotten so used to people around me being the strong ones, standing up for principles, being role models, and to have CTV cave like they did. And I think that's what's scary. It's like, wait, if you're not standing up to the bully, who's going to do it? And then the idea that, oh shit, wait, I gotta be the adult? I gotta stand up? Wait, there's a noise in I hear a noise, it's 3 a.m. and I hear a noise in the apartment. Wait, I gotta get up and see what the noise is? It's the reminder that, yo, being an adult falls to you is what's scary about it. I was so comfortable in being, shout out to the person in the bus who stands up to the crazy person or to the, hey, Mr. Bus Driver, you're fucking late. Shout out to them, man. Shout out to you truth tellers, man. Oh, right. So, on the topic of discomfort and danger and discomfort and danger and taking up space and not being scared to bother people, because fuck it, man. Because you deserve to take up space, man. It's something I need to practice. On the topic, I'm just going to send out a shout out to the people out there who don't make it their purpose, who just their existence is an inspiration into taking up space, or fuck them. Don't worry about, be a renegade, stand up for what you believe in, trust yourself. And it's, I made a list, man. It's, this one's going to make you laugh, but yo, shout out to big women, man. Not just big women, plus size models. Who believe in themselves, like the Lizzos of the world. And not just Lizzos, but plus size model, because I know all the bullshit you had to go through to be like, okay, I know I don't represent the standard, the beauty standards, but I still believe I'm beautiful. Now, turn on that goddamn camera. Shout out to y'all, man. Now, to you, you believe you're just being sexy out there or just making yourself vulnerable. Well, I don't know. However you've convinced yourself to stand in front of that camera and publish it, I want you to know it's also an inspiration to people like me. Second on my list, and this is going to sound weird, is studs. I think that's the word, studs. Let me look up the definition of studs, right? And that's what are studs in the LGBTQ movement? Okay. Oh, I didn't know what I was in. Okay, an African American and Latino masculine lesbian, also known as butch and aggressive. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, what I was thinking about is, it's I have a low key admiration, like kind of like an admiration for the fonts being cool, and I can't explain it. It's like women who. They're women, they're feminine, but they express themselves. They might be lesbian or heterosexual, but they have like strong, but the way they express themselves, it's like masculine. It's like, they'll fuck you up. they'll wear, I don't know if adult tomboys, so to speak. And it's just not, okay, I know I'm making a big deal out of it, but it's just more like, I think it's just more the idea of, this is me. I'm expressing myself. This is how I choose to express myself. And fuck you for thinking I should be more ladylike. I think it just goes out to anyone who stands out. This is really what I'm trying to get at, man. That's why, for standing out and being proud of it. And the thing is, I don't think they set themselves up to be like a role model center. It's just, This is the way I choose to express myself, to identify myself, and fuck whoever's whose feelings it hurts. Oh, that's not ladylike. Well, that you know. So is this punch? Pow. Okay. Truth tellers. Truth tellers. They go on my list. The truth tellers who stand out. And I say this because one day one of you truth tellers are gonna hurt my feelings. But it's not the fact that it hurts you. It's not the fact that it's the feelings that hurt. It's the what happens after. It's when the truth leads to something constructive. I'm grateful for y'all, even though you know you're gonna face like repercussion for that shit. But you know you're gonna face the story, man. Shout out to Galileo, man. Galileo, the guy was like, turns out we don't spin around the sun. The sun doesn't spin around us. We spin around it. What? Heresy. Kill him. Whatever. And last but not least is shout out to the LGBTQ community, LGBTQ plus community, especially the Black LGBTQ plus. You know what? Shout out to you outcasts. That's what I'm trying to get at. Shout out to you brave outcasts. I'm still learning to be a proud one, to stand out and not have any regards for the people that it bothers. But that's my journey. That's my journey. Yeah. These two episodes, the last and this episode, should be meant as a shout out to you all, while at the same time saying, when I grow up, I'm going to be just like you. That's it. All right, this concludes today's episode. I am going to, let me see, what do I have in other links that I want to bring up? Next time Zionist, Bad April Fool's Joke by Ben Shapiro. The reason why I have less white friends. Yeah, man, check it out, man. And I put a less serious section meant to make you laugh or smile. I'm just trying to keep shit positive. All right, gang. This concludes today's episode. Reminder, website address is shutuppodcast.com. Email is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Whitey represents the conformist. the main crust of white supremacy is there's only one way to exist. Anything outside of that makes you a savage. Whatever, right? So fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey, man. Double fuck Whitey. All right. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.